on, y'all. 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Tuesday night as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. 6 o'clock on this Tuesday night following a Sixers game. Of course, we have plenty to talk about with them. We had a quick In the Post last night, about 25 minutes of an In the Post last night following the win over the Spurs that, quite frankly, did not feel like a win last night as we dissected things that went down on the court last night against the San Antonio Spurs. We'll get into plenty of that. Of course, the Phillies off tonight. That was announced yesterday due to the expecting bad weather in New York as they were getting ready to take on the Yankees. They'll be back here tomorrow taking on the Yankees in a doubleheader. So we'll talk about the Phillies a bit and what happened last night since they did take the field, losing 6-3. No game today in New York last night. So the doubleheader will be here tomorrow. And there were questions already with Joe Girardi. So we'll talk about that. Some stuff from Jason Stark with Mike Missanelli. The same with Sal Palantonio. We'll have Bubble Watch later on at 8:30. Take you inside the bubble because we couldn't do inside the bubble yesterday. So there's a lot of stuff to catch up overall with the inside the bubble NBA version of what's going on in Orlando. So we'll get to that as well. We'll have this fun conversation tonight and we'll take your calls on the Flyers as well, who take the ice on Thursday, right? They get a little break right now as they're in the round robin. They're just sitting there practicing, getting themselves all ready to go because they're this good team that everybody feels good about overall because they're the ones that right now we look at them and say, oh, we can count on these guys right here. We can count on them because they're going to do it right for us. They're not going to let us down like some other clubs. But again, they take on the Capitals, and that will be on Thursday. So we just await the time on Thursday with that game against the Capitals. And Tampa Bay closes it out over the weekend. But last night, that's what everybody, again, has been talking about. And I knew people would be talking about it, but I got to be honest with you. I was a little surprised that it has been the main focus on a lot of people's minds today on what they saw versus the San Antonio Spurs last night. Giving up the 40-plus points in the fourth quarter once again. You just can't do it, right? Just can't do it. And they did it again. Same thing that we saw on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. They allowed the San Antonio Spurs on the back-to-back to put up 132 points, score 43 points in the fourth quarter. When you had a 12-point lead at the start of the fourth period, and you allow them to outscore you by 10, hanging another 40, where you had to go down to the end and get a Shake Milton three-pointer with 6.1 seconds left on the game clock, a defensive stop that needed to be made because it was Jakob Poeltl instead of LaMarcus Aldridge in the middle, where DeMar DeRozan set him up very nicely for a cutting layup to the basket to give them the advantage, and he missed it. Tapped out by DeJounte Murray, a free throw by Joel Embiid, and a missed free throw opportunity that was said to him by Brett Brown to miss it. That's what they needed last night in order to beat that San Antonio Spurs team. That, again, no LaMarcus Aldridge for the entire bubble. He opted for surgery before they even got there. No Bryn Forbes last night, right? No Bryn Forbes, no Marco Bellinelli. No Trey Lyles. They did their damage, certainly, with DeMar DeRozan. You expect that. Derek White, 20. DeJounte Murray, 13, 6 boards, 2 assists, good defense. You expect that. But you don't expect Rudy Gay to come in off the bench and drop 24, an efficient 24 on 9 of 15 shooting. You don't come in and expect Keldon Johnson, a rookie from Kentucky, to come in and drop 15 off the bench, 4 of 6 from the floor. 7 free throws for Keldon Johnson. Right? You don't expect that to happen to the Sixers with a team that did not have everybody out there. And they drop 132 points on you. You don't expect that. You expect them to look back at what the Sixers did on Saturday. Take some pride in what you did, right? Take some pride in what you did and come out there and stomp your foot on these guys and never let up. And that's not what they did. That is not what they did. That's what Embiid did. 27, 9 boards last night. Getting to the free throw line 12 times. They couldn't defend him. Jakob Poeltl fouled out. Drew Eubanks picked up 3 personal fouls. They could not defend him last night. Keep feeding the big fella. He played 31-14. There was a time again where I thought that the head coach removed him from the game, substituted him, and it was one of those deals where you look at it and you say, not again, Brett. This is not the time right now. Do not do that. Yet he did it again. And he was dominant. Tobias Harris had an efficient 10 of 17, 3 of 5 from deep, 6 boards, 4 assists with the 25 points overall, a steal in the block as well. I still have my issues where I'm looking at him and it's me probably where, again, I say he gave you 25, 10 of 17 and it just wasn't impactful enough for me. Those were good 25 points. That's me. I'm picking when it comes to Tobias Harris, a player that I've liked his entire career. And right now, when I look at him, I'm like, I didn't get the 25 and it had that impact. 19 from Richardson, 10 in the first quarter. 16 from Shake Milton. You got the bounce back game after the little back and forth with he and Joel Embiid. You got the 16. 5 boards, 3 assists. Efficient. 6 of 9. Picking his spots. Good shooting. Only 1 turnover with 25 points. Right? You get that stuff. You get all these good things. But again, your defense is terrible. When we talked about analyzing this team at the start of the 8 seeding games, the number one thing for myself, and I know a few others, was simply team defense, number one. Team defense, number one. Be that team defensively that you kept telling us that you were going to be once the playoffs arrived. Be that team defensively that Embiid talks about him being a defensive player of the year. Be that team defensively that Ben Simmons talks about him being defensive player of the year. Be that team defensively that the head coach says they both can fight for the team overall success, but individually getting that award at the end of the season where they're named the team over the defensive player of the year overall. That's what we were told. While the playoffs have not started yet, these are the 8 seeding games to put you in a position to play your opponent for the first round and then moving forward. They have not looked good in 2 games as of yet. They have not. The other thing that I said, the number 2 thing on my list after defense was, I need to see, all NBA Joel Embiid and All-Star Ben Simmons. That's who I wanted to see at the same time. Again, we're not in the playoffs yet, but you want to ramp up knowing that you've been off for 4 months. So far, we've seen all NBA Joel Embiid. We have. We saw all star Ben Simmons in scrimmage 1 and scrimmage 2. We have yet to see all star Ben Simmons in games 1 and 2 of the seeding process here. Now, I bet you tomorrow against the Washington Wizards, 4 o'clock tip right here on the Fanatic, we'll follow that game and go deep in the post with you. I bet you tomorrow against the Washington Wizards, a helpless basketball team, we'll get that Ben Simmons because it's falling in line of where people say you won't get the right Ben Simmons that you want against the good teams, which we saw against 2 good teams, the Pacers and the Spurs, and the Spurs were playing well. That's why I'm putting them in that good category, knowing that they are also coached very well by Greg Popovich. They're going to come to play regardless of who's out there suiting up for the Spurs in that uniform. Simmons will go out tomorrow against the Washington Wizards and give us close to a triple-double with 21 points against that Washington Wizards team. Now, it just lays perfectly because he hasn't played right, so we expect a good game from him. But it's not going to do him any good because he has already had these 2 bad performances. It looks like he's sulking out there at times. He is not himself. One of the main talking points last night in the 25 minutes that we had in the post after the game, I don't know what's wrong with Ben Simmons. I have no idea. And I think as someone who analyzes him, analyzes this team, analyzes the game, that I can figure him out a lot of times. I cannot figure out why he's not right in these first 2 games. Is it because he's moved off the ball offensively, playing that quote-unquote 4 spot? I don't know, because he still has the ball in his hands quite a bit. So I don't see where that will be a problem. I don't know. What's wrong with him defensively? Where I keep touting him. He said all defensive player of the year. I said all defensive team. I keep touting him as one of the best defenders in the league, which he is elite in my opinion. I'm not going to let two games take that away from how I think he plays as a defender. He has looked terrible in these first two games against the Pacers and the Spurs, TJ Warren and DeMar DeRozan. He has looked terrible, and I cannot figure it out. I cannot figure out why. Last night, he got in foul trouble, so maybe that will take him out of what he is, what his rhythm is, and that will get into his head a little bit. No excuse on Saturday against TJ Warren. I have no idea what happened there. The guy got hot. He played off of him too much. He didn't respect him enough. Last night, got into the foul trouble. He's seen DeMar DeRozan plenty. How could you not respect DeMar DeRozan as a scorer, a professional scorer in this league for many, many years? I don't know. But I cannot figure him out and what his problem is. But he better figure it out. By the time we get to August 14th, that final game of the Rockets, and they gear up for the start of the postseason on the 17th, he better figure it out by then. He better. I heard Mike saying, might be time to move him back to the point guard position. Mike's not wrong, as he's saying, because he cannot figure out what the problem is. Mike's not wrong there. I'm not going there, but at this point, no one's wrong with trying to figure out what's the deal with this basketball team. So I'm listening to Stan Van Gundy on the Full 48, which is Howard Beck from the Bleacher Report, covered the league for years. Listening to his podcast, Stan Van Gundy and Howard Beck, they start to talk about the team overall, the Sixers, because Van Gundy points out how he looks at Miami and Philadelphia as two teams that can creep up on everybody. The problem with Philadelphia is I just don't know who they are. And we've been saying that 29-2 at home, 10-24 in the road. We don't know who they are, right? We have no idea who this team is. So he's talking about them, and he's speaking about how very, very good they are. But number one, it starts with the defense, right? Number two, he starts talking about how they need to start letting it fly a little bit more. And we have some audio, and we'll play that for you, how they need to start letting it fly a little more from beyond the three-point line. How Ben Simmons is a fantastic player, and why are we worried about him shooting so much? He said this last year. We played it. He was on ESPN. He was doing one of the post-game or the pre-game, and we took the audio from television, and we played it on where he says, I'm not worried about Ben Simmons shooting right now. Why would I worry about that, right? But that's where we are with this basketball team. We have no idea the identity of this team at all. It's Jekyll and Hyde, road team versus home team. They're in this neutral zone right now with this bubble. They lose the road game against the Indiana Pacers. They win the home game last night against the San Antonio Spurs, technically, right? Because it was a home game last night and a road game on Saturday. Who in the world is this basketball team at this point, guys? Can we ask that question? Can we ask that question? Who are the Philadelphia 76ers at this point? Tyler has put up a poll, too, on Twitter at 975 asking this very question about who this basketball team is in general. We've seen them now for 67 games, some scrimmages, and we're still trying to figure out, are they really, like Stan Van Gundy was saying, when you go into a bubble situation like this, which is very unique, not having a traditional training camp, although it has been the off time like normal, they did not have the opportunity to work out in the off season like you normally do. They were isolated to their homes or their gyms at their homes. Or if you did not have a gym at home, you had equipment to at least work out. Those were the things that you were relegated to. But overall, a normal off season, they did not have that. So right now, what the eight games are with the seeding is what he said. You're going to see a lot of scoring. You're going to see some bad defense because players and teams right now, simply coaches, are not wanting their teams and their players to really ramp it up right now. This is more of a extended preseason, certainly with seeding implications. But the defense that we see, the good defensive teams, will get a better feel going into the start of the playoffs because that's when they'll be themselves. not what we're seeing. 43 points, 46 points in the fourth quarter against a good defensive team like the Philadelphia 76ers. That's what we're going to see when the playoffs start. Is he right? I mean, we are talking about a head coach who has been to the NBA Finals with the Orlando Magic. We are talking about a coach who coached very well with the Miami Heat. Is he right that we're just seeing basically a glorified preseason in the NBA right now, and especially with your Philadelphia 76ers? Still a lot of questions. Still six games to go with the seeding games. The playoffs will start on the 17th. But right now, this team is just so frustrating to watch. When the game ended last night, I'm looking at Tyler and I'm talking to him as Brian Seltzer's doing the post-game show. I'm talking to Josh Rabick and I'm sitting there saying, this team can't win. If they were to suit up for the playoffs starting tomorrow, I have no confidence, like I did before, that they could beat the Miami Heat, the Indiana Pacers, nor the Boston Celtics in the seven-game series. Because I don't know who we're going to get when we watch the team step on the floor. I have no idea who we are going to watch and listen to once the game tips off at whatever time the game is supposed to start after these two games. I felt better about them in the scrimmages than I have in these first two seeding games that they have stepped on the floor inside that bubble with. I have no clue, guys. And guys and gals, I need you to help me out because I'm just flabbergasted at this point as to who this basketball team is, how they are playing, and the defense that I thought would show in these first seeding games. I just haven't seen it. Maybe I'm wrong for evaluating them wrong. Maybe I was wrong in giving them the credit that I thought that they could at least take down a Boston Celtics team who I respect, but knowing that you got the better of them in the regular season with the 3-1 season record. Even the Miami Heat beating them with the season series, still believing that the 76ers were superior if they played them in the seven-game series. And the same with the Indiana Pacers, who are now a game up on them in the Eastern Conference standings, disrespecting them too because I felt the Sixers could beat them in the series. Right now, I have no clue. I have no idea at this point. I understand that it is the seeding games and not the playoffs. But for me, the seeding games were important because I needed to see them get into a rhythm, gain that confidence of playing with that starting five together, move into the postseason, going in possibly with a winning streak, and feeling good about yourself getting ready for the start of the playoffs. That's what I wanted to see. That can still happen with these final six games where they just flat out started to beat these teams and we see the best of Simmons and Embiid and in a complimentary role who is playing far better than I'm giving him credit for, Tobias Harris, and they just do what they're supposed to do. But right now, I have no idea who this basketball team is, and I want to know from you guys and gals, Sixer fans, who is this basketball team? Are we to worry after seeding games, or should we give them a little more time once the postseason actually starts when the playoffs begin on the 17th of this month? 610-632-0975. They did shoot 53% from the field, hoisting up 31 threes, 30 free throws, only turning the ball over 13 times, but they gave up 132 points, 43 in the fourth quarter. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday night, following Sixers basketball once again. And while they picked up the win after the game, it just did not feel like a W for me. It felt like Sixer basketball again, but in the bad way, not in the good way, where I just took from it that they could not beat anybody in a seven-game series once the playoffs begin. Do you have that same feeling? Am I wrong for feeling that way? Where do you guys stand, and who is this basketball team at this point? Because I have no idea. Or maybe this is who they've always been, and I'm just being naive and not looking at it clearly and saying that this is exactly who they are, who they were before the hiatus. And Devon, why are you surprised at this point? Because we already knew this. We already knew this, right? We already knew this. Devon, what are you talking about? All right. 610-632-0975. Mike, we're going to give you first opportunity when we get back to give you all your time. I don't want to shortchange you. 25 minutes commercial free. And everybody else that follows there, we have some calls that want to share their thoughts here on the 76ers and what is going on with this basketball team. Is this always who they have been? Should we be surprised where Joel Embiid dominates like he talks about wanting to do? And then everybody else just kind of gives you decent performances, but not good enough overall for you to feel confident in a 7-game series. Because right now, I'm looking at, hey guys, we're going to see them for 2 more weeks once this playoff start. And then we're going to be talking about the offseason, and there will be plenty to talk about with their offseason. Okay, 610-632-0975. Who are they? How do you feel after 2 games? What's up with their defense? What is going on with this basketball team? Point the finger wherever you want. Let's have this conversation. I did not expect, basically, to seem like, I haven't said it. I know we do it. When I get frustrated, we do it. We talk about having our sessions. I haven't said it yet. I don't want to go to a session 2 games into seeding where we haven't got yet to the postseason. 610-632-0975. But we do need to have a dialogue. So let's do it until 10. Tyler Zuli producing. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, well, it is good to have basketball back. 629, 97.5, The Fanatic. During the break, you know, the cool thing about the NBA returning 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 here in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. While Ty and Mike and Nat are doing the show, they can watch basketball and hockey and baseball while they're doing the show. And the same for us. A game ending as we come in, and the Phoenix Suns have just knocked off the Los Angeles Clippers, 117-115, Devin Booker with a buzzer beater to knock off the Los Angeles Clippers. So the Bucks lose earlier today to the Brooklyn Nets. Go figure, 119-116. Again, a lot of points. All these teams, a lot of points. 117-115 in this case, where the Suns knock off the Los Angeles Clippers. Suns are 3-0 right now inside the bubble. And, of course, selfishly, I have my own reasons as to why I root for the Suns. But right now, they are, and Ty and I were just talking about this. Of course, they don't have any business being in it. But if Ty is listening now, they're only 3 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies with 5 games remaining. Look, I don't expect them to make the playoffs, but it's good experience nonetheless that they get a win like this and get this experience, gain this experience going in. And the Sixers, as we mentioned, a game behind the Indiana Pacers, 2 games behind the Miami Heat for the 4th spot in the Eastern Conference. So it's good to have basketball back. Good to have hockey back, as Tyler is in there watching hockey in his studio and my studio here. We have the NBA game on. It is fun to have it back. Of course, we don't want it in this way where we're playing basketball in August. We should be talking about free agency and what the Sixers have done in free agency or trades or maybe a coaching change, or maybe we're still celebrating an NBA championship from June that they won when they beat the Clippers. Who knows? But we do have it, and it's good to have it back, and we hope everyone, again, is staying safe out there. As we start things off, the question, one more time before we get to the phones, give everybody their opportunity. What's wrong with the 76ers? Yes, they got the win last night. They got the win, but I wasn't happy. And I know many people weren't happy today listening to the Fanatic and just checking out everything that people were saying. 132-130, a great shot by Shake Milton. Had no fear. He just fired it up, no hesitation, and he knocked it down, drilled it. Great shot. 6 seconds left. 6.1 seconds left on the game clock. He wins the game. A game winner. Fantastic. But it just didn't have that feel to it of this is great. Great win. No, it was a win. They needed that win, but it wasn't a great win. They gave up 132 points, 43 in the fourth quarter again. So what is it? 43? What did they give up? 43, 42 against the Pacers or 46? I don't know. They gave up 80-plus points in the fourth quarter in their first two games. That's all. They gave up 80-plus points. 89 points in the fourth quarter combined. Defense has to be better. What's the problem? What's wrong with Ben Simmons? Let's start things off with Mike in Springfield tipping us off here on this Tuesday night. Mike, how you doing?
Hi, Devon. I wanted to talk about one aspect, you know, watching the game last night, because I was only able to watch half of the Sixers game. And I wanted your thoughts. You know, I used to watch basketball just to relax, to get away from everything. You know, it's kind of like that guilty pleasure of relaxing, not thinking about anything. And when I watch the uniforms and the court and all, is it just me, or does it seem like I'm watching CNN and politics? I don't feel like I'm watching basketball. I think they got too carried away with the political statement to the point where it takes away from the game.
No, I don't get that. Because once they start playing the game, we don't see all of that. I mean, you still see Black Lives Matter on the floor, but when they're playing, they're playing.
Not that. I meant like the jerseys. Like I used to like to see Embiid and Simmons names. Instead, you see all this other stuff. I feel like it just, you know, even as a kid, you used to watch the Michael Jordan jersey. You know, you used to see.
Yeah, but we're talking about something that we know would happen this during the time off, and you understand it. So I can accept it for what it is, and I champion what they did. I have no problem with it, Mike.
I just think, I don't have a problem with the message. I just think that when I'm watching basketball, I just want to watch basketball. I agree with their message. I just don't want to see it when I'm watching the game, right? I want to watch Embiid catch a great pass from Simmons and just be like, Simmons to Embiid, what a great, amazing play. You know, that's the highlight.
That's what I've been doing. I mean, I don't focus. We're accustomed to one thing. Mike, I'm so used to, just like you are, the NBA logo being on the front of the jersey. The Nike logo is now on the front with a sponsorship with whoever is putting that patch on that jersey. You get used to it. And right now, only for this bubble, I'm assuming, Mike, this is what you just have to get used to for a couple of months. So I think you can look past that and just enjoy the game right now as we get sports back like we all wanted it.
Well, one other thing, the electronic fans that they dub in on
yes.
NBA.com, I feel like I'm watching a video game. It doesn't seem real. I don't want to see, you know, superimposed fans.
Well,
I get it's empty, but, you know, I can deal with empty. I just think when it looks like a cartoon, again, I think it takes away from the game.
Well, it's these are unusual circumstances for us as sports fans. And right now, the same with the NHL. We have to get used to the new norm, which it is right now. Because let's be honest, Mike, it might continue for the 2021 season for these false teams that we have in front of us, where it will really be the exact same thing, Mike. So, again, thanks for the call. Appreciate you starting us off, but I think you need to get used to this one right here. The message is what the message is on their jerseys. It doesn't bother me. Does it look different and weird? Absolutely. Absolutely, especially when you see Black Lives Matter and then Shea Gilgeous Alexander name, who had those are the most letters I've ever seen on a jersey. But it's okay, because the message is what the message is. So, Mike, for me, I don't think they're making it too political. I think it's okay, obviously. I don't have a problem with Black Lives Matter on the floor either. And this is where we are. This is where we are. I think for what, as you just said, the message that's being out there, you don't have a problem with it. With the message that's being put out there that was never listened and accepted, Mike, just allow this right now. enjoy the game and allow the message that's being pushed out there. That's not political. That's not political. That's human race that we're talking about. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. Let's start it off with D on the cell. D, what's happening?
I got another problem with what you're saying, man. You drive me crazy. You nitpick Tobias Harris for 25 points and say that he really, you want more from him. Simmons averaged 17, and a lot of them is hollow garbage points. We tanked for Simmons. Embiid fell in our lap. And you don't like that Shake hit that shot last night. That game felt great to me. They needed that to springboard to the next game.
Where did I say I didn't like Shake hitting that shot?
You said it didn't really feel good. It was like a backhanded compliment.
No, I said win. Not Shake shot. No, D, we're not going to do this. D, seriously, we're not going to do this tonight. Because I just don't feel like it. Because I don't feel like it tonight. So we're going to have a conversation. Do I give you time?
But you always cut me off.
Because you don't have a conversation. You want to have a PSA. We're not doing a PSA. We can have a conversation. I do this every night. And I think you're the only one of the callers. And I'm not going to sit here and say my callers because that's not what I do. This is a forum for all of us. I just happen to be pressing the buttons. You're the only one of all the callers that call here and act like I don't give you time. I give you time. They tell me sometimes, Devon, stop giving people too much time. I'm trying to have a conversation with you. And if you're going to say something that I am saying, allow me to at least clear things up and let you know what I was saying. I'm not giving a backhanded compliment. D, I want them to win. All I said was it didn't feel right. I want them to be better. Now go ahead.
All right, now let me ask you this question. And you say, are they are who they are? Simmons has been lackluster for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why it's no surprise. We've been getting beat off the belt by guards that can get to the rim for 2-3 years now. And everybody keeps calling him an elite defender. I don't see where. That's the only thing I'm saying to you. We've got to put Feibel, who's a rookie, on DeMar DeRozan and all these elite scorers in the league. And I don't understand what they say, oh, Simmons is an elite defender. We tanked for him. He was the number one pick. We should expect more, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what
I want more from him, too. I do. And even as somebody who supports him, like you know I do, I want more from him as well.
So can I ask you a question? What if he is what he is and it's not good enough?
Well, are we still talking about the things that I want him to improve on, like free throw shooting and just finishing at the rim better?
4 or 5 with him. How long were we waiting for him?
How long are you waiting for him, what, in terms of tanking?
No, in terms of him becoming the player he needs to be. How many years do we got for him?
I think we evaluate it as it goes along. D, if he does this like for the next 2 years and you're like, all right, that's enough, then you decide to move on.
His trade value is nothing now.
I totally disagree with you. You don't like him. So if you don't like him, you're not going to give him that type of credit.
He's the missing piece for making us elite. Embiid doing all he can. Can I ask you this one question?
So we've never seen games where Embiid hasn't played well and Simmons was the best player on the floor?
Can you answer me?
Oh, no. I just asked you a question and then I'll answer yours. You've never seen games where Simmons was the best player on the floor and Embiid didn't play well?
Rarely. Rarely.
Yes, I mean, but I would say yes or no to you. Yes or no?
Yes, I have, but okay. It's not enough. Can I ask you?
I didn't say it was enough. I was just asking the question.
But I want to ask you this last question.
Yeah, yeah.
Answer it.
Yeah.
Why, after 4 months of watching tape, all your coaches and everybody agreed the only move they needed to make was take Simmons off the ball? And I want you to answer that, and I'm going to hang up.
Oh, say it one more time. Say it one more time.
Why did the coaches come up with, after 4 months of watching tape, why was the only move they decided to make was to take Simmons off the ball? Can you answer me why they took him off the ball?
I'll do that for you. Yep.
All right, thank you.
You got it, man. I got you. You got it, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. That was the move that they went with because you're not gonna do too much to the starting lineup in terms of making changes for the team to become better overall. You're not gonna do that. You're not gonna just go in there and start shuffling everything up. So now you're really going in there saying, all right, we're just throwing, like we keep hearing, like I know Anthony was against this move, for example, and he's saying it feels like a Hail Mary with what he's doing. If you do multiple moves, D, where you're changing things for the Sixers overall, now you're throwing super Hail Marys, right? Throwing mini darts at the wall. So that's the one move that you're going to make. And I also think this too, D, that the way Shake Milton performed when Simmons was out and he was on the floor, Shake Milton performing well, that they felt like he earned that opportunity to continue to start. So if before the break against the Clippers, where Furkan Korkmaz started, remember that, it wasn't even Shake Milton, he started in place of Al Horford, Furkan Korkmaz, so that move was already in their head. So it wasn't the 4 months, it was before that, then Simmons getting hurt, then Shake Milton performing decently out there on the floor, highlighted by the 39 against the Clippers, where they wanted to make sure they gave him an opportunity to still be. They saw something with his shooting, with his penetrating, with his steady play as a young player out there on the floor, where they saw positive things to keep him out there on the court. So to me, D, there weren't many other moves personnel-wise that you had to make. Now, right here, is where you figure out the rotation. You still have to see, your starters is a one thing. You can do that in the 4 months when you're watching tape, talking to the coaches, having your Zoom calls with the players, figure out what the starting five is going to be. The seeding game, pardon me, practice, scrimmages, seeding games, that's to determine what your postseason rotation is going to look like for the 76ers. So I think this was the only move to make, or Thibel or Horford back in the starting lineup instead of Shake Milton. Those were the only options that they had. That's it. Because even then, D, right now, they don't look as deep as we thought they were. Is that fair to say? That they don't look as deep? Where we can go to, let's say, the Clippers, where off the bench they have Lou Williams, Landry Shamet, J'Michael Green, Reggie Jackson, and Patrick Patterson. Or you go to Toronto, the starting five is the starting five, and then you bring off the bench once again Terrence Davis, who's a young player, Norm Powell, who may not be starting, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson has a role, so you know what he's doing, why he's coming into the game. You have a number of people, the Milwaukee Bucks, well, Dante DiVincenzo now comes off the bench, he's like a sixth man, you have Kyle Korver, George Hill, Sterling Brown, the other Lopez, which is Robin, and plays for Brooke. They're just deep all over with the 76ers we thought they were, including the moves for Glenn Robinson and Alec Burks. It just doesn't seem like they're that deep. Now, I do want to see Glenn Robinson in the rotation. I want to see what he can provide with the athleticism, an extra defender on the wing. Maybe he could possibly help out in that regard when guys are getting cooked. And as far as Simmons' defense, D, he hasn't played well over the past two games. I cannot defend that. But even as a person who doesn't like the man, he is an elite defender in the NBA. Give the man credit where credit is due. You don't have to like him. How many times do I come in here and I destroy Kevin Garnett? But I give the man credit. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm not comparing him to as a Hall of Fame player. I'm just giving an example of giving a person credit when they deserve it. Ben Simmons, D, come on. Give the guy credit. He has his warts. He has his warts. But come on. As a matter of fact, breaking news quickly. I saw this, but go ahead, Tyler. Let's do breaking news quickly when it comes to the NBA and the Western Conference. This is not good.
No, it's a tough blow for a young team.
This is not good.
That's not been playing very well in the bubble. The Memphis Grizzlies announced today that forward Jaren Jackson will be out for the rest of the seeding games with a torn meniscus in his left knee.
Not good. Right now, they are two games up on the Blazers and the Spurs, 2.5 up on the Pelicans, and 3 overall on the Phoenix Suns, 3.5 on the Sacramento Kings.
The undefeated Phoenix Suns, by the way.
Yes, yes. I should have worn my hat today, but I did not. That's not good. Taylor Jenkins has done a fantastic job as a coach. Out there, nobody knows who Taylor Jenkins is. Young coach in the Western Conference, helping turn that franchise around, led by Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. We fear this, that stuff like this would happen inside the bubble with players coming back. Now, this is a meniscus, so you don't look at that and say, oh, soft tissue this, soft tissue that. But right now, we have had two devastating injuries for young players, very talented young players. Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic, a torn ACL in his left knee. And right here, a torn meniscus for Jaren Jackson in his knee. That is not good for the Memphis Grizzlies. Opens things up for the Blazers and the Spurs, Pelicans, to make a possible run at that eighth seed. And even the Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings, even though they are 3 and 3.5 back, respectively, behind the Memphis Grizzlies. I hate to hear that. I like Jaren Jackson Jr. We saw them against the Sixers in that first scrimmage game, and he's a good player, man. He'll bounce back, but you just never want to hear it. Never want to hear it. And especially me with my ACL. If you don't remember, I tore my ACL last June, but I also, 20% of my meniscus was also ripped up in there at the same time. So I just, you know, I always feel for them, but now I really feel for them. Having gone through this myself, it's a tough break for them. Really tough break. 610-632-0975. Lee in Drexel Hill. What's up, Lee?
Hey, my man. What's going on? How you been?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, look, you're hosting the party over here. We're out in Drexel Hill. We got no power. We're listening to you on the phone, man.
Oh, man. Listen, I appreciate you guys doing that. I hope the power restores soon for you all. Stay safe.
Absolutely. Hey, man, I wanted to check. So we were sitting last night watching the game. I saw Shake Milton hit that three, man. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. He's still in the big shoes to play Ben Simmons' role.
I was shocked. First of all, I was shocked. I was like, whoa, what is he doing? Because, of course, the play was, and we said this here, Josh and Tyler and I, we were like, the ball has to go into Embiid. So did the San Antonio Spurs, which is why they fronted him and they defended him on the back end and denying him the basketball. And Shake took a big shot. Felt good. He dropped it.
I give him credit for noticing the space and taking the shot.
Yeah, and you also have to give credit to Al Horford for giving that ball up quickly, not messing around with it too fast, too long, giving the ball up, allowing Shake to make a decision, and it gave him enough opportunity to still have that space when they decided to close out. The ball was already on its way.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing them again. I'm going to see him play again. You know, I'm a hockey guy, but hey, I'm a 4-for-4 guy first, so I'll keep buying in as long as they keep selling me on them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You have to root for all the teams here locally, Lee, and hopefully the Sixers get things going. Hopefully Shake Milton continues to play better. He had the 16 last night. A nice bounce back to the goose egg that he laid up there on Saturday.
Hey, I appreciate you, my man.
Hey, man, good luck. Be safe out there. Hope you guys get that power back soon. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Lee. 610-632-0975. So, Shake Milton, again, just to Dee's point about me not giving Shake Milton the credit, I never said that. I said it was a great shot, confident shot by the young fella. I'm glad he knocked it down. They got the win. I just said the win didn't feel right. And me observing this team and wanting them to win, obviously, I'm looking at a situation here like this, and I'm saying, my goodness, can they play a little bit better, please? As they get ready for the playoffs, can they play a little bit better? Huh? Wouldn't that be nice? 610-632-0975. CJ on the text board says, did he really just say the messages on the back takes away from the game? Yeah, he did. That was our first call to Mike, who does not like the messages on the back. Listen, something that they're doing right now, and I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it. 610-632-0975. So, Lou, hang on. We're going to start with you. C-Notes, Chris, Nate, and everybody. You guys, hang tight. We'll get to you when we get back. I want to give everybody, again, their opportunity to say your piece. 610-632-0975. What's up with the 76ers? 89 points in both fourth quarters combined in these first two seeding games against the Indiana Pacers and the San Antonio Spurs. This is after having double-digit leads both in those fourth quarters in both of those games, yet, it came down to the end last night, and they should have won that game on Saturday as well. What's the problem? We'll let you hear from Stan Van Gundy as well. Hey, you bring up Ben Simmons. We know people want to talk about Ben Simmons. We'll let Stan Van Gundy let you know how he feels about Ben Simmons, like D, who is not a fan and doesn't want to give him the credit that he deserves a little bit of. 610-632-0975. We'll get into the Phillies as well. Bubble Watch at 8:30. And we'll see what Sal had to say with Mike as well in terms of the Birds right here until 10 on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.